This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm Gavin Dawson. Myself and Lucius are here at 75 and 52 in Arlington. I can actually see the broadcast position from here at 75 and 52, 11th floor. I can see AT&T Stadium, which is where the rest of the gang is. And gentlemen, it's time now for best of the weekend. Here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Just heard the promo. Tomorrow we're going to be at Men's Tee. That's going to be wonderful. I'm looking forward to getting my tee levels checked. Need to just get a status update, see how we're doing here.
Hey, maybe, Eric, can
Wolchuk will join me as well. What's up?
Can Broadus? I interrupt you just real quick? I was just told that the doors and the roof are going to be open tonight at AT&T Stadium.
Hell yeah.
So we'll have some nighttime football with open doors, open roof. So enjoy.
Okay. All right. We'll take it, man. We'll take it. And there's not going to be any sun issues tonight, so this is exciting. And Wolchuk actually had the update as well in the commercial break about, because we were wondering, would they flex out the Cowboys? Like, tonight seemed like a night that maybe could have been flexed out, but they're not in the flex window for Monday Night Football yet. But down the line, when the Bengals come to town for Monday Night Football, that is in the flex window, and that seems like a perfect opportunity if you're the NFL to maybe try and put a different matchup on Monday night when it's supposed to be Cowboys and Bengals. But what's the deal, Wolchuk?
Well, it's the Simpsons alternate cast. So it's not eligible to be flexed out because of all the drawings, voiceovers, and other work that's been done already for the Simpsons alternative broadcast that's going to air that night. That's from Jay Morrison, who covers the Bengals. I think you're looking at maybe Sunday Night Football against the Bucks. Otherwise, we got Thanksgiving and tonight another Monday night game to look forward to that the nation can watch us. Hopefully not embarrass ourselves.
I love it. All right, we start with high school football, then we'll get to college, and then we'll get to the BS fight of the year. But from a college from a high school football standpoint, this was something that I saw. I don't know if you guys saw the viral video from a Utah high school state championship game. It's really a beautiful aesthetic because it's the mountains. It was kind of an overcasty, like,
yeah.
It looked really awesome. And then the video shows a helicopter flying in for the coin toss. Instead of doing a coin toss, this is a state championship game, mind you. They have a helicopter, like, I don't know, maybe 100 feet or whatever above the 50-yard line. The captains are at the middle of the field, and they drop a football out of the helicopter, and the captains scramble for the ball, and that's how they decide who's getting the ball first in the game.
What?
Wow. That's unique.
It's very unique. I've never seen anything like it before. I don't know if this is something they do week in, week out, or if this is just a state championship curveball they like to throw at the people. But the video, I mean, it's kind of like it's a little bit snowy. You have, like, snow on the turf there. Again, like, you're in the mountains. It's a really beautiful scene. And then in comes the helicopter, drop a football, and then it's two captains for each team basically in a dogfight for the football.
I'm definitely, like, make you think twice about who your captain is.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah, we're going with the quarterback. We're going with the linebacker or the running back.
Did we see something like this in the XFL the very first time where they had a scramble for the ball and one of the guys separated his shoulder?
I think they
ball.
Like put it at midfield.
It was get up off your back and run to the ball bit. And, yeah, we had a separated shoulder right off the jump in the XFL. First injury, the first play ever.
That was awesome. That's a good call by you, Broadus. Yes, that's really the only thing that you can liken this to. I've never seen anything from a helicopter dropping the ball down. I don't know. It was crazy, but I loved it this weekend. The other thing, college football-wise, and sorry, of course, to your LSU Tigers there, Broadus. But,
what's there to be sorry about?
Well, I mean, every time you lose, isn't it frustrating? Or is it one of those things where you just don't much care anymore? Brian Kelly's just going off on people.
I'm dealing with two football teams that really don't care about playing football. What I'm saying right now?
In a bad way.
You know, and it's tough. And it's funny. And I wonder if my man Chuck Cooperstein's listening because he's a Florida Gator guy. And Chuck took the opportunity to send me a text. Good. I hadn't heard Chuck. From Chuck all year.
Oh, man.
And he's like, it's amazing, you guys, your offense. You have all those yards, and you only score 16 points. And I'm like, yeah, thanks, Chuck. Appreciate that. Been watching this all year. But, yeah, it's a good win for the Gators and, really a bad loss for LSU with so much on the line. You know, there's a lot of teams right now that are either contenders or pretenders. And LSU kind of falls in that category of a pretender right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But the Texas game, Texas going to Arkansas to take on the Razorbacks. And before the game, they were reporting on the fact that the Razorbacks went with a little bit longer grass for the game. They have natural grass there. And so they decided a little gamesmanship. They're trying to slow down the Texas players, the speed of those guys. So, and they had like low camera angles to show like the grass being a little bit longer. And people were up in arms about this. People were like, I mean, especially Texas fans, and I get it. You're a Texas fan. You're a rabid college football fan. I understand. You're defending your team. But I love this as a – and it kind of worked because the Texas offense, I mean, it was a tight game there in the fourth quarter. They only ended up scoring 20 points. It wasn't very explosive. I think Bond was the leading receiver with like 48 yards, so it kind of slowed him down there.
Yeah.
Not enough to actually win the game for Arkansas, but I'm here for this, Broadus. Is this something that's commonplace? Have you seen something like this before? Because I think this is a, hey, home field advantage. You do something. That's a no-brainer move right there for Arkansas.
Yeah, this happens quite a bit, believe it or not, in the Big Ten. The Big Ten, will grow their grass a little bit, depending on who they're playing. If you get, say you would get a team, from the Southeast, or you get a team from the West Coast that comes and used to play before we had everybody playing in the Big Ten, you would that some of these programs would grow. I know Notre Dame would grow their grass higher to try and slow down opponents that would come in to South Bend. I know some Big Ten teams that did it as well to try and slow down their opponents. So, yeah, we see it in baseball too. You get a team that really is good at running the bases, you slow down the track. You make it a little bit more soggy around, first base. Maybe a team that – maybe they're a really good bunting team. You make the grass a little higher to kind of trap the balls from going foul. So you could play with all the surroundings as much as you want, and the really good ones will do that.
Well, Friday night, of course, it was the fight, BS fight of the year. Now, the prelims, especially Amanda Serrano and Katie Taylor, as you mentioned, Lucius, and
a lot
you
of
saw
punches.
That right there. Woo. Dude, her eye.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the bigger gashes you'll ever see on a face. Those girls were just going just trading blows, an absolute slugfest. That was actually the real fight of the night. Because now, not that I got to see much of it because my Netflix kept buffering. That was a miserable experience.
It was terrible.
You guys were experiencing that as well. I mean, that was the one thing, Lucius, being there. You didn't have to worry about that. Netflix was not prepared for the moment. I'm like, Netflix, you created the streaming. Like, this is your wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. You are at the top of this mountain, and you just embarrassed yourself. That was a frustrating deal, and then the fight became a little bit more frustrating. And then the fallout from the fight, where you have people saying, like, yeah, these guys weren't even, like, legally allowed to really go hard after each other. Jake Paul wasn't trying to KO Mike Tyson, and Mike Tyson was just trying to get out of there alive, dude. That was frustrating. Did he always do – was that common for Mike? Because I was wondering, and it was cool, though, because my daughter – I had never actually watched a live Mike Tyson fight before. That was my first experience with it. My girls were sick a little bit, so they couldn't sleep. So it's 11 o'clock, and they're sitting right there with me on the recliner. We're all watching That's Mike awesome. Tyson for the first time. So, like, that was cool. Except the fight wasn't that awesome. And he kept biting his – he was biting his glove. Yeah. That's a move of his?
He said afterwards he's got a biting fixation.
I heard him say
we
that.
We know, bro. We know. That was a good joke. Yeah. I was proud of him for being present enough to make that crack. I would say not nearly as much. I kind of wondered if it was just disassociation for him. You know, some sort of a thing to distract him from the reality of, how bad he was looking out there. I think if he went back, that probably happens in fights that he knows he's losing.
Yeah, okay, maybe so. I was wondering what was going on with that, but then he just wasn't attacking it. Like, you see all the sparring videos and stuff where he's just going, just combo, ready to and I thought there was going to be at least one or two rounds where he just went balls to the wall with it.
So my thing was, like, watching those videos, you saw flashes of that, but inside those videos, they were all edited together to be, like, 2 seconds of explosion. And the problem with age that you're about to find out as you just turned 30, Chief, is when you try to go forward and then stop yourself, you can lose your balance and just end up falling down like Broadus in that parking lot. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and it, as a younger man, you don't quite comprehend how like fragile the balance is. But I think for him, he can explode, but it was resetting and then being ready to explode in a different direction that was just too much for his legs after about the first 90 seconds or so.
Yeah, it was shake legs. He did not look like himself, and I do think Paul could have knocked him out if he actually wanted to, but he clearly did not.
Yeah,
and that's super disappointing. And with the build up, like, I bought in because
I did too.
It felt like Mike had flipped that homicidal switch, and he said that he was bringing the devil into the ring with him, and he absolutely did not.
No, there was no devil.
No, there wasn't.
I'm still looking.
Now, I don't know, Lucius, right there in front of your face, I'm sure you had a great time, right? I mean, I'm sure it was an awesome time in the building.
Yeah, it was amazing in the building. And he did bring the devil in the ring. The devil was deception. We all got deceived. Last one of us.
Well put.
Good call.
Yeah, well done, sir.
Now, the funniest part, though, was, of course, afterwards when he's being interviewed in his locker or in the locker room or whatever, and he dabs up the guy, and then he walks away only to show that he's wearing, like, some level of assless chaps, dude.
We got buns.
Seeing his cheeks there was absolutely hilarious. You know he did it on purpose. But that was honestly the most memorable part of the night. Was him walking away with bare ass cheeks there on live television.
Yeah, indeed. After watching that, bro, like, I seen the clip go viral, and I seen, like, Mike kiss the dude. I love you, and walk away with his cheeks out.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, you cannot kiss me with your cheeks out, fam.
No. Put those cheeks away.
It don't matter how much I love you, dog. You're not going to have your cheeks out. Then I did some research and found out that was Mike Tyson's son.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
But all still, right. Put but your still, cheeks away,
still,
Dad.
Pops, put your cheeks out. You're kissing me on TV. I got a reputation here.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Hopefully everybody had a great weekend. When we return, it's time for some NFL news of the day. We'll check what's in store.
Benching's the play of the year, and are these things lining up for a lethal pairing? That's next.